This is OTB AM.
I would say that Nadal's force of will and stamina and sheer bloody-mindedness is unparalleled. But nobody comes close to Federer's talent and the fact that he maximized that natural talent. And for me, that's why Federer will always be ahead of Nadal and Djokovic, even if Nadal or Djokovic win more Grand Slams than Federer. I still think Federer is the best of the three.
OTB AM, Ireland's only sports breakfast show, weekdays from 7:30 AM, only on OTB Sports Radio.
Live 24/7 on the OTB Sports app.
The OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
All right, delighted to say we are joined by Tyrone's Conor McKenna. Conor, how are you getting on?
Not too bad. Thanks for having me, boys.
You seem like a man who is enjoying his football right now.
Yeah, just getting back home, I suppose. Been away for 6 years, playing a different sport and learning it. I just sort of always wanted to get home and get back into Gaelic, and just been the last 3 weeks or 4 weeks up with the Tyrone set. It's been very enjoyable, and just probably the first time really in about a year really actually enjoyed playing the sport we've been playing. So just happy to be back, yep.
Eamon McGee on Twitter over the course of the weekend said Conor McKenna must have been training away with the local GAA club in Melbourne when he was away. Any truth to that?
There actually was, yeah. At one stage this year, when I was, this year just really struggled with homesickness and didn't really want to be there. So the club were doing everything to help me. So my brother was playing for a team called the Wolf Tones. So on a Tuesday, instead of training with the AFL team, I actually went down in the park and trained maybe probably only for 3 weeks because then it was the pandemic and I came home. But the club were good enough to let me train once a week with a Gaelic side for about 3 weeks.
Right, and that's brilliant to hear. So obviously you came to them and said that you were missing home a bit and they said we'll do everything in our power. And part of that was actually to get you back kicking a round ball.
Yeah, so let me go home for 3 or 4 weeks and then he came back and I still just wasn't enjoying it. So they said what else do you think would work? So I said I want to train once a week with the Gaelic team and they were very good. They let me do that with my brother on a Tuesday night. And then it really only lasted probably 3 weeks and then I had to come on Monday because of COVID-19. But yeah, they tried their very best to keep me happy.
How quickly did you pick up the skills again playing Gaelic football? Because I think we've all been very impressed with how the last couple of weeks have gone. At the start, though, was it the same way when the cameras weren't on you?
I suppose when there's a good few of us with seven of us over there, Irish lads in Melbourne. So every month or so, we go up and kick about any of a few Gaelic balls a lot of the time. And yeah, probably just being back for 4 weeks, a bit of training first was probably a bit scrappy to start, but then just building confidence and stuff after every training session. Just good to see a paid off, sort of. So,
do we sometimes overplay the skills thing, transferring your AFL skills to the round ball? Is it actually easier than we perhaps give you credit for? Like we say, it's kind of like these alien skills that you're bringing to the pitch once again with Tyrone. I presume it actually comes quite naturally to you again after a couple of games or training sessions.
Yes, but it does. I haven't really been working much since I got home for the last about 6 weeks, so I have been down the pitch probably two times a week just during the day. So it was a bit wayward to start kicking, but just sort of you can see it just gradually getting better the more you do. And it's just sort of repetition. I talked to Marty Clark and Tag Nelly about it, and they said when they came home, they just did a lot of that sort of back to your basics, just kicking and solo and stuff. So just got a lot of that in. Just hopefully it comes a bit quicker.
How many hours are we talking here down on the pitch?
Oh, geez, I don't know. Hey, I suppose around maybe 3 times a week, probably for an hour or two, probably just sort of kicking shots and just kicking the balls, or just getting used to it again. That was really just the base of it. And then back up the Tyrone train once or twice a week, now training with them, and then just good to finally get a few games under the belt.
How big an advantage is it as a professional athlete, former professional athlete, coming into an amateur setup? Is the difference that big?
Not really. It's a bit different now this year because Tyrone, obviously, there's not full training. We're only training twice a week with the Tyrone setup, so it's not the full program. But when I was leaving, the Gaelic setup was as good as a setup I've been in, really. Like for an amateur sport, it's unbelievable what the players commit to and give to their county. So I don't think there's a big gap. There is just a small gap, which you'll never be able to close just because of the professionalism, but it's definitely not a big gap, no.
You must have been flying coming back into training, given the directions of the two seasons. I guess GAA players were just coming into their season. Do you feel that stood you in very good stead coming into this year's championship and in the aftermath of those two league games?
Yeah, I suppose I was just looking forward to getting back and playing, and just probably I was training for probably 3 or 4 months before then by sort of rolling lockdown, so probably they put me a wee bit ahead and just came back in the swing things and just getting them games around back gives me a bit more confidence, so I'm looking forward to hopefully a few more this year.
You mentioned the homesickness that you went through in Australia. How constant a battle was that for you? Was it something that you had to deal with from the very off?
Yeah, well, so when you're 18, you're going out, you think you can take on the world. So that was sort of my mindset. And then you quickly realise that you're on your own in the outside of the world. And it sort of hit me when Tyrone under 21s won the All-Ireland my first year. That sort of hit home that I sort of missed that. And then sort of from then, probably for about a year, it was pretty bad. And then when I started playing AFL games, and I sort of got better. And then probably after 4 years, when I sort of became a consistent player, I sort of completed everything I wanted to complete over there. And that's when I just sort of lost a lot of interest in playing football and just didn't really enjoy the AFL, or wasn't enjoying training and being with the lads probably as much as I used to. So it definitely was a constant thing, yeah.
Who did you have over there with you?
So the vice started no one. So I moved over when I was 18, and then I moved into a host family. So they do that for a lot of young Irish boys. You get put over into a family. So I was lucky, I got on very well with my family and still contact them today. So that was good. And then after probably 3 years, my brother moved over. So him and his fiance moved over, and I lived with them for the last 2.5 years. So probably really only for them, being there for the second half of my career, probably wouldn't have lasted that long, I don't think.
Is the part you miss about home all to do with sport? Are there other elements of Irish life that you missed, or is it really just the football?
Probably the main one was the football, to be honest. I have probably 9 mates in Sydney at the minute, but the main one was Gaelic. Just going out and playing a sport that I just knew I wasn't given 100% to, even in training or playing. I just knew I wasn't myself, and I never thought it would be like that. I thought no matter what I play, I'd love to play it and give everything. But it just got to the stage this year where just probably money wasn't enough for me. It was just I wasn't playing a sport that I wasn't enjoying anymore, and I just had to make that decision. And just now I'm just over the moon with the decision I made, and just happy to be home.
How hard a thing is that to appreciate when, as you say, the money is a big factor in it, when it's not like you went over there and failed? A lot of people have gone over to the AFL and have come home as a result of not making it. You are, by the standards of a lot of Irish people who've gone down there, an extremely successful AFL player. Were you surprised that that didn't lead to happiness in the end?
In the back of my mind, I always said that I was coming home after 2 or 3 years, and then probably being there 6 years was a bit of a surprise for me. So people always did. I always say, I want to go home. People sort of probably thought it was a front, but then I sort of just continuously went on for 6 years. So for me, not really. I sort of always knew at some stage it just wasn't going to be enough for me, and Gaelic was always going to be too much of a pull. So that just, whether that was going to be 2 years in or 6 years in, so I didn't really know, but I knew at some stage it would definitely overcome me.
Was there a specific moment this year then when you realised, I'm going to pack it in? Or was it a build-up and a slow accumulation over a period of time?
Not really. So after the end of last year, I flew back out. And after my first time I flew back out, it's like heartbreak leaving every time, sort of. So just never really enjoyed it. And then this time, just when I get out there, normally it takes me like 2 weeks, and I'm not too bad getting back in the swing things, but just probably 3 or 4 months in, it was still the exact same. Just was going to train, was walking off pitch sessions and stuff, and just didn't really want to be there. So I think it was just pretty obvious to players around me too that my heart wasn't in it anymore. So I think it was pretty obvious from the back out, it was probably going to be my last year, just how long I really lasted. And then with Gaelic getting called off this year, I went back out after the pandemic, which if Gaelic probably was on, I don't know if I would have done, but just probably made it easier for me to go back out without Gaelic happening.
What are your teammates and your coaches saying to you when they realise that you're walking off the training pitch in an unhappy place?
Yeah, they're all supportive of me. Like, so there's probably a group of 5 or 6 boys I'm really friendly with, and they all knew for the last 6 years I've struggled with it. And then when I actually finally made the decision to come home and retire, they're just over the moon for me, because they knew it was the right decision, and that I was actually loving the decision of going home. Like, it was just when I actually retired and tired of players, it just felt like a complete relief of just a weight off my shoulders. It just felt like I actually made the right decision for the first time in a long time.
Did your own personal COVID situation exacerbate things at all? Because that was a pretty mad story. The amount of negatives and false positives and actual positives that came through it's a story I could barely keep up with. Did that affect things?
Not at that stage. Even before that, I was always in the mindset I didn't want to be here probably much longer. So I don't think so. I've never really had much time for the media in Australia, to be honest. The way I see it, they get a lot of access to AFL players and the way they live and the way they play, and they don't really give a lot of respect to players. So it's not really something I took much notice of, to be honest, no.
When you say that they don't pay much respect to players, is this something that you've noticed before the coronavirus story, where was stuff written about you or said about you personally?
Not personally me, but just in general, they just seem to have a real negative. If it's not a negative story, it's not a good story, that sort of way. And a lot of time it's whoever comes out with a story first, no matter if it's wrong or right or the truth, it doesn't really matter. So just something that I think is a problem over there, and they definitely need to change.
What was the hardest thing about part of saying goodbye to Essendon. Did they make any last-ditch attempt to keep you? Was it made any bit more complicated than a fairly straightforward decision to just fly home?
Nah, not really. So obviously I tried for the last probably 3 years to let me go home for my brother's wedding the year before, which probably was frowned upon, but they were very good to me. They gave me every opportunity to be happy, and it just wasn't working. And then I had a meeting with them, and I honestly believe if I had a meeting 6 weeks before that, it would have been the exact same outcome. I would have just probably retired in the spot. When I actually finally started to talk about it with the coaches, I just sort of knew there was probably land himself that I didn't really want to be here anymore.
Has there been a moment already when you realised that coming home has been the right thing? Has there been a training session, even a moment in the couple of the games when you thought to yourself, right, this is my happy place?
Literally, the moment I told them I retired was just a complete relief, just knowing that, because when I came home, I suppose I was home for normally 2 months at a time, but it was just a burden of people constantly going to you, when are you flying back and when's the next season starting? And it sort of just always played in the back of my mind probably. So to actually know I'm coming home, people just actually whack them home, not going, when are you going back? It's just having that the freedom to know I'm home for the future, not having to worry about going back.
Right, so it was almost the limbo that you've been existing in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I just knew it was going to happen, and as soon as I actually said it and came out to the public, it was just a complete relief, really.
Well, it's great to see you back from a GAA perspective, Connor. I must ask about not the goals that have come over the last couple of weeks, but the passes, more than anything. The pass for Darragh Canavan's goal at the weekend is something that's been shared quite a bit on social media. How much of that role do you enjoy, the playmaker that comes with being number 11 in a team?
Yeah, I suppose enjoy. It's good that you can change in a few different roles, hopefully, and hopefully you're versatile enough to go. You can probably play halfback if you want, or midfield. So just having a different mindset and going in different positions and giving different players opportunity to change, I think it's very important in a team to be able to adjust to what other teams do, and just give us the option of putting me full forward or putting someone else in half forward, and just keep swapping up and just really keep games guessing. So it's definitely a role I enjoyed. I played it a lot when I was minors with Tyrone, so it's definitely something I enjoy, yep.
Was there a big conversation about how Tyrone were going to make a little bit more of a shift last week, insofar as there's been a little bit less hand passing, a lot more emphasis on the kick passing, a far more expansive style of play from Tyrone at the weekend than we've seen in recent times?
Yeah, it's probably just a weird one for me because I'm only probably in the setup probably 3 weeks, and then it's just obviously the first game of Donegal was probably the first time boys were playing together for 5 or 6 months, so it was probably just getting to know each other again and just getting the swing things. And then you've seen it probably came out a bit better against Mayo, just when we played probably a bit more free and probably without any shackles on. So just definitely look better in the first half, and just if I'm going to that mindset with Donegal next week, hopefully we can do the job.
That's the thing, because we've seen a lot of risk-averse play happening in Gaelic football over the last couple of years, that when a pass like yours to Darragh Canavan does happen, it's something that everybody rejoices with. I know Dermot Connolly would have got similar praise in that Dublin setup over the last couple of years. Do you think we're getting to a stage now where inter-county players are being encouraged to take the risk because the reward setup is so great?
Yeah, from where I left, Gaelic's changed a lot in the way the game's played probably, but I definitely think it's something should be encouraged, because I don't feel you should play a game without taking a risk. That's how you can prove you're good enough. But it's definitely something I'd be encouraging as a teammate, and hopefully the management will keep encouraging us to do it.
When you say Gaelic games has changed between your two stints, what do you mean by that? What's been the biggest difference?
Probably just the defensive aspect of it. There's a lot of team defence. It's probably sort of similar to AFL when everybody sort of comes back and attacks in a group, whereas when I was back in my day, I was sort of more staying full forward and don't really do much defending. So it's just a bit different in that aspect of it, but it seems to be swaying back towards the forwards again. So just probably just made a slight difference in training and the way it's going.
You've timed your comeback perfectly, basically, is what you're saying.
I'm hoping that, yeah. I'm definitely hoping that.
Just to wrap up then, Donegal this Sunday, I presume you had a very close eye on the amazing clashes between these two counties over the last couple of years, so you know exactly what the recent rivalry is like.
Yeah, it's definitely been a big rivalry, so it'll be a massive game now. Really looking forward to it. Obviously got a better for 2 weeks ago. I think it'll be a different game on Sunday, hopefully, but definitely we have to take a few steps in the right direction. Hopefully we can do it.
And do you feel, I don't know, there's a little bit of the pressure off this Tyrone team, because I guess when Cahill's injury happened, they would have got written off to a certain point. I don't think we realised you were coming back at that point. But do you feel that the expectation isn't as great as it might be, say, next year?
I do and I don't, because it's normally you'd have the backdoor system, whereas this year it's straight knockouts, which adds an element to it. So it's just probably going to be who can deal with the pressure better in the day. And it could be over, and this time next week we sit up with no GAA left to play this year, so it'll be very disappointing. But I suppose that's just the way it is. At least next year, if you meet Donegal first round and it doesn't go your way, you can go through the backdoor system, hopefully. But it's just a strange one because it could be over in a week, really. So hopefully not.
Conor, welcome back. Best of luck Sunday.
Thank you very much. Pleasure.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.